Okay, we're going to go over to Jude. That's a little book. It's little, but it's got a lot in it. We're going to go to Jude, and we're going to start with verse 3. This is judgment on false teachers. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you, he wanted to write of you the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and to do what? Exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So there's an importance. He felt like, I wanted to do this, but I really feel a need to do this. For there are certain men that crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men. Now you tell me, is it creeping in the churches? Yes, it is. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They're agreeing, it can just be this way, it can just be this way. But I know the one thing that I believe with all my heart, if you know that God's word says it's wrong, preach the word as you're led by the Spirit, not when you're led of yourself, because it will not do anything except for stir up. It'll stir up. Denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, I will therefore put you in remembrance. So I want you to remember this, he said, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them for one reason, unbelief. They believe not. He's given us everything we need for our spiritual warfare. He's given us the faith, the Son of God. He came here. Remember, he said, I came to do your will, O God. Well, if you go to John 17, he said, I finished the work that you gave me to do. It's the work that he gave me to do. So he said, I came and I did it. Jesus' words on the cross, it is finished. The sinful work of man is done. The problem is everyone is still caught up in sin. Instead of getting into the resurrection and the newness of life and to the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll see that in a little bit, but if we continue on in Jude, he said, I needed to write this to you. Then go down to verse 11, because remember, false teachers have come in. There are messengers even today. They're transforming themselves into an angel of light, a messenger of light. They're coming and saying, they may say all the right things. But I tell you, just like I got to share with someone, I believe you know when it's the Lord. You believe the anointing is upon the speaker. I want someone who's anointed, led by the power of the Holy Ghost. Woe unto them in verse 11. Woe. There's woe for these people. Woe unto them, for they have gone. They've gone in the way of Cain. And we're going to discuss that in a few minutes. And they ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. That is spots in your feast. And as I began to look on them, the first word was woe. Woe. Woe unto them because they have gone in the way of Cain. Go in and read about, even we talk always, we always point to Catholicism because it's a system. It's a system. They have the white, even at the church over by our house, they have Mary and Joseph and they have the baby and they have Peter. They have all these statues. They can't talk to me. They can't even see me. But they're pure white. Pure white. Why is that? To me, it's just like a tombstone when it's so white. But what does it say in Matthew? On the outside, you are whited. I mean, you are whited sepulchers. You are so white. It looks so good. But on the inside, there's not been a change. You still have the thoughts of man, the attitudes of man, Cain. You have all those things. Anything we talk about with Cain, and I looked at the supplement, says, if we want to go in the way of Cain, here's what it's going to be. It's going to lead you to pride. It's going to lead you to lust, jealousy, anger, hate, lying to God, lying to man, murder, unbelief. All those things. They went in the way of Cain. But also, when you look at that verse, it says, and they ran. They ran, and they did it like this, greedily. Is greed of God? No. That's of the flesh. They did it greedily after, and what is it? An error. It says right there, it's the error of Balaam. The error. And they did it for reward, a false reward. After they perished. That verse right there tells me, don't go in the way of Cain. Don't run greedily. Stay away from Balaam. That's just a false prophet. Religiousness, works, all those things. People are coming in those ways, and we'll see it through the Word of God. But he said in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, a form. To me, even all those statues, they have a form. It brings to your remembrance Mary, Peter, Joseph. It brings to your remembrance a form of godliness. But they denied the power thereof. The power was not about Mary. The power is Jesus, the Son of God. He was the Son of the Highest. The reason that baby was born, it was from the power of the High, the Highest of all. It was God. But man are forgetting those things. When you look at the gain, with Cain, I told you what that meant. Well, with Balaam, there are spiritual gifts, ministry, and it's all for gain. It's something to gain something for themselves. To profit. They greed after it. They love of money. I better get paid if I preach. We're not to be, I don't believe that we are to sit and say, you need to pay me this and I'll preach for your meeting. Because I believe with my heart, you want to preach. You want to give out God's word. You want to give them the richest gain they'll ever have. Yes, he does tread out the corn. And yes, he can partake of it first. But I'll tell you what, it's the attitude of a heart. There are those who want to preach God's word because they'll get a check. Or we want to do this because we'll get something out of it. Maybe just the praise of men to pat your back and tell you how wonderful you spoke. I guarantee you, don't ever put your confidence in that. Don't ever. Because God will let it to where no one says anything. He'll allow it. They do it. But God allows that. So you don't get caught up in that web. You don't get overtaken with the affairs of this life. Your gain is to know that you have pleased him and that you have spoke what God gave you. And I believe by God's grace, you're going to know where that message came from. You're going to know. It's not going to be about you. It will not be about you. It'll be by God's grace and God's grace alone. That when they do compliment you, don't feel like people can't say, I enjoyed what you spoke about. You know, people are so caught up even in those things. They're so caught up in it, they go, oh, well, I have to make sure I answer the right way. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, you know God's word. There are so many things that we think we have to say because it'll be the right thing. That's works. That's works. What is in the heart's going to come out? Usually it's just, well, thank you. What about just thank you? I love the Lord. We are already rewarded. What did Abraham say? I don't even want a shoe latch. I don't want anything. All I want is the reward of him. It may not come today, but it is coming. But his reward is eternal. It's an eternal reward. And I'm not saying, don't go and say, Penny said you shouldn't say, Pastor, I love what you said, or, you know, I'm not saying that. If you have a heart of love, I believe when the Lord speaks to your heart, he'll work it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is gonna speak. It will speak. And it'll be led by the power of the Holy Ghost. I want you to think of Moses, Aaron, anybody. Did God ever come in? You know, we had someone just mention this week about name dropping. And I thought, I don't know who came up with that. But do you know Paul even said, I give you Timothy. Well, there's a little name dropping there, isn't there? Because he cares for your state. Not many care about your growth, your state that you're in right now to grow up to your standing. He talked about Barnabas, the Paul, Silas, all those names. But Paul always put it in the right order. He said, whether Paul, whether Apollos, whether the ones who taught Apollos, didn't they say about their name? Apollos had a lot, but they came to give him even more. They didn't go, well, you just don't really know a lot. No, they loved him so much and took him under his wings. And they shared more of the gospel with him. He would have more to give, more to preach. But first of all, more to receive and enjoy. So there's your answer to name dropping. Now I want us to go over to Genesis chapter 4. Because we don't want to go in the way of Cain. In chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. I like that. Adam and Eve are husband and wife, and now they conceive, all in God's order. And they bore a child, they bore Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was the keeper of the sheep. Okay, keeper of the sheep. And Cain was a tiller of the ground. And what kept coming back to me was over when you go over when they did wrong in the Garden of Eden, where he said, you're going the sweat of your face. You're going to till that, because cursed is the ground, okay? I keep going, and I go, this had to be passed on here. But here's Cain and Abel, and Cain could have thought, you know what? I worked hard in this garden. I've tilled it, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I'm taking him the very best, the very best. I remember someone saying that, do I hear the bleating of sheep? He said, yeah, we kept the best for you. You, even in works, you may, people look at the bad in things, but even the good, I'm going to give him the best I have. And that's what people do. Some of them not even knowing the truth. I want to be the best that I can. I walk with him the best I can. I want to do this and I want to do that. He said, I want you to believe. I want you to believe the truth. I am the way. How hard is that? If I brought a three-year-old and set him in that pew right there, and I said, did you know Jesus said that he's the way? You think they're going to get it? They may not get the depths of it, but you can say, and it means the way. He died for you. He made a way for you because you were born in sin in sin did my mother conceive me? And God said to get him out of that garden. He doesn't want him going in there and eating from the tree of life and live forever. Their sin, it must be judged. We don't want it continuing the way it already is. Man has fallen. God gave us something better. We're on resurrection ground now. But Cain, he brought his offering. He said, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect. He accepted Abel's offering. If you come and you say, I am coming before you, Lord, presenting my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. It's reasonable service. I present my body a living sacrifice unto you, Lord. Do you know that is accepted in the beloved? You're accepted already. We're not enjoying the acceptance. And he said, Abel, he brings his firstling of the flock thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel's and to his offering. Now remember, they're coming to who? It says the Lord. They wanted to present the very best to the Lord. And they bring it. That's worship to me. That's praise. That's thanksgiving. But who did the work? When you look at the blood, it's the shed blood of the lamb. And we talked about this in class. It had to be inspected. Trust me, you're being inspected. She's going to be holy in him, without blame in him, without blemish in him. It won't be her trying not to say a bad word or her not drinking this or doing smoking that. That stuff, it is finished. The new man doesn't even want that stuff anyway. Turn to God. Don't turn from your idols to God. Turn to God. He becomes our substance of true worship, true praise, thanksgiving, glory, honor. It's all him. But let's see how Abel and Cain take this. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. He didn't accept it. I could get up here and sing really good, or I could do a really good lesson, all in myself. God doesn't accept it. But even if you don't preach it in love, you remember the word of God, he wants you to listen to it. He wants you to grow. To Cain and his offering, he had not respect. He didn't love it. He didn't take it. He did not accept it. What happens to someone when they see someone was accepted, someone is walking in the Spirit, somebody's bringing the blood offering, someone's coming by faith, believing? Cain does something. He's very wroth. It doesn't say he's wroth. It says he's very wroth. Why do you like my brother better than me? Why are you taking his offering? And I worked all day in that hot sun, and I brought forth the very best of the fruit of the ground. And you're not accepting it? No. Because otherwise we would have to say, Joe gets to go to heaven because he's a good boy. He's so good. He's nice to everybody. He'd give the shirt off his back to everybody. You can do all those things, but without love, it profits you nothing. You. There is no profit in it. And the Lord looks at him. Okay, he's wroth, and what happens? His countenance falls. And the Lord says to Cain, the Lord's going to talk to him. He said, Cain, why are you wroth? What are you so angry about? Why is your facial expression just changed? Can't you imagine him bringing it and just loving doing it? And he brings it and he goes, I don't accept it. It's of works. Your attitude's wrong. His countenance falls. But the Lord talks to him. He says, why is your countenance fallen? Tell me, Cain, what is it? If you do well, if you do good, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. You still got a sin offering waiting right there. It's right there. Unto thee shall be, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Here he is, and he's talking to him. Let's see what happens. Did he listen? Is he going to try to come the way of the blood and by faith? He could have even said, Lord, give me the grace to be able to do this fruit. Lord, I give you the glory and honor of all this. I believe an attitude's wrong here. Well, Cain goes, he's done talking to the Lord. Let's see who he talks to next. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And I kept thinking how a lot of times in the scripture, the field speaks of this world. But they were in the field. The two. You've got works. You know any churches that are going by works? You know anybody who says you're not saved always, forever, eternally? They're going to have a talk together. And Abel said, no, I have life eternal because of the blood. And he said in the beginning of Jude, he said, when they come out of Egypt, what did they do? The first thing, apply the blood to the doorpost. Because when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. When I see the blood, I'm passing right over you. You're not going to get caught up in all this. You're going to be taken out of it. Just like she will be taken out before that tribulation. That's why I love that. 30 days prior to the tribulation. That bridal rank is going out. And I believe the Lord showed me it's Romans chapter 12. She's presenting herself before him right now. Holy. Acceptable. Without blame. Without blemish, by faith. I'm believing you, Lord. I believe you. And remember they say, as soon as that daily, not the evening, the daily sacrifice is taken away, tribulation's going to start. There's a big nugget right there. And the Lord now comes to Cain. Because Cain, talking to his brother, he rose up. And he slew him. He killed him. That's part of that old Adamic nature. People go, I don't know how somebody could kill somebody. Well, you had the same flesh. Be careful. You can do the same thing they're doing. But you're choosing the right way. Not the way of Cain. The way of truth. The life. You are taking the resurrection life now. You're not living in the old man. You've reckoned it indeed dead unto sin, but alive now unto God. Well, here comes the Lord again. The Lord says to Cain, Cain, where's Abel, your brother? And he said, I know not. Really? You just killed him. He's going to lie to God? People are doing that all the time. You know, that's what I was going to say about Catholicism. It's a system. And you've got to really think about a system. What goes on in a system? First of all, the priest tells you what he wants you to know. Okay? You go and sit outside the Catholic Church. You're not going to see a bunch of people walking in with the Bible. You won't. As George said, it looked like a bunch of people going on a picnic, really. Be not conformed to this world. We are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God? People are trying to conform the Lord to our ways, the way we like. We have to die to ourselves. He tells them whatever they need to know. And they go home and say, well, the priest told me. Well, Penny told me Sunday school. I don't need to read the Bible. Well, Jean brought the message. I don't have to study the Bible. Really? And you're going to tell me that everybody, whether you're a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, you have the gift of tongue, you're telling me they already know it all? I thought we were building up one another. We are growing in grace. That's why Paul said, Apollos, Paul, even put my name there. God has to bring the increase. God does this. But when he tells him this, and you think about that even in the Catholic Church, people have subtly, by the devil, you're going right into the same thing that they've done. I'll just listen to the preacher. I'll just listen to the teacher. Well, I'll just listen to my mom and my dad. We need to walk with him. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. That you're rightly dividing the word of truth. That puts us all before our Holy Father. Our Father, do everything unto him, whatever you do. Well, the Lord comes and he talks to Cain, and Cain tells, he lies to him. That's of that nature. And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? What have you done, Cain? See, this man has to finally get to the place and own up to it. That's why the Lord speaks to us, so he can show us the right and the wrong ways. Now I want you to go from there. I want you to go over to Revelation, because I wrote these down. There are seven churches. We're only going to do five, and the reason why is Smyrna and Philadelphia, they knew the Lord loved them. They knew by his works. They knew the work, it was finished. It's not about what they could do. It's about what they believed. And they were falling in love. Okay. Now you go over to Revelation. I don't have to hurry. Revelation chapter 2. And I'm just going to hit on this little point, because you're going to have people say, you don't have to repent. Stop repenting about everything. Okay, churches. Yes, Philadelphia didn't repent. Smyrna didn't have to repent. But God, he saw all that they were accepting in the beloved. When you go to this, you'll go to Ephesus, the full purpose church. And he tells them after all these things, but in verse 2, I know thy works. He's going to say this to every one of them. I know your labor. I know the patience, how you can't bear them that are evil, how you tried them which say they're apostles and are not. You found them liars. That's some good things. I know. But he said, nevertheless, even though all these commendations, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. You left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. You've fallen. And what do you got to do? Repent and do the first works. You see, repent, do the first works. And he said, and if not, I'm going to come unto you quickly, and I'll remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Okay. Now, they can change their hearts and mind, because he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So you keep going, and we're going to bypass Smyrna and go down to Pergamos, much married. What have they fallen to? They must have found something better. They're much married to the world. Verse 13, I know your works. I know where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Where are you dwelling? In the world. He's the God of this world. And you hold fast my name. You haven't denied my faith. Even in those days when Antipas and was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth, right in this world. But I have a few things against you. And he names them. But then you go to verse 16. What does he say? Repent. In other words, change your mind. Turn to God. Turn to God. Turn around. Repent or else I'm going to come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Now go to Thyatira. He tells them in verse 19, I know your works. I know your charity, your service, your faith, your patience, your works. There are some in the Catholic Church that are saved. And the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you. I see what you're doing. But he said, I love these words. I gave her space to do something, to repent. I've given her space to repent of her fornication, taking a place that is not hers. And she repented not. Behold, because she didn't want to turn, I've given her plenty of time to do this. All men will have known. Behold, I'll cast her into a bed, and also them that commit adultery with her into the great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And you can go in Revelation and study about that. She's going to receive a cup, but it's not a cup of blessing. And all those that followed her and worshiped her and did everything, they're going to drink of the same cup of suffering that she did. That's just like he drank a cup for us. And each time, every time you drink of that cup, you do it in remembrance of him. Of him. And he tells them, repent. And then you go down to Sardis. Verse 1, I know your work, Sardis. And he knew they were saved. They had white robes, but he said, you need to strengthen that you have. You know, yeah, you are saved. You've been born again. But you're not growing. You're not overcoming nothing. You just have a white robe. The things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works, perfect. Is he perfecting her? We are to be perfected. The finished sanctification in our lives. Remember, therefore, thou hast who you've received it and who you heard of it. And hold fast and repent. Change your mind. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they walk with me in white, for they are worthy, not in themselves, but because of him. Then we go on down to Laodicea. And he says the same thing to them in verse 15. I know your works. You can say you're not doing it. You can say, we can do anything. I know your works. That you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you're lukewarm, cold, nor hot, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest you're rich, you're increased with goods. And notice who says it. They do. And then God said, I'm going to tell you what you really are. And he said, I counsel you. He's still right there, and I love this. As many as I love, I rebuke them, and I chasten them. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He's given them every opportunity, all the way to the end of the church age. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, he didn't say if you're a this or a that or whatever, if any man hear my voice and they hear it, they hear his voice, they open up the door, that's their part. They have to hear it. They have to open up the door. He said, you know what's behind the door? I will come in to him, and I'm going to sup with him, and he with me. We're going to have fellowship one with another. We're going to enjoy being in his presence instead of, well, some people don't really care, but he just told me there are so many, and there were so many. He said, I'm still here trying to get you to change your heart and your mind. Repent. We don't want to go in the way of Cain. We want to go by faith. Enter thou into my rest. It's all that he did for you. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you and me. So let's just be thankful and praise the Lord and say, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart. Now, I hope Sally listened to that sermon because she sure needed it. I've heard a lot of people say that. And then the Lord said, no, I told you to listen. He that hath an ear. And that, when we get down to the Laodicean church, the seven churches, it's an ear. It's not ears. He that hath an ear. It's single. Singleness. You're going to really have to have one ear, just both in tune as one, to hear what he's got to say. That still, small voice in the midst of trials. Let's all stand. Lord, I just want to thank you and praise you. And Father, I just love your word. I thank you. It encourages our heart. Father, you are a loving God and you are there. Yes, you chasten, but it brings forth that peaceable fruit in the end. It brings forth all the good unto you that the word is doing. It is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. You could take any sword and try to come against. But when God's word comes, he truly can show the hearts of man and say, this is where I'm looking. I see. I want you to be found in me. Amen. Blameless, harmless, harmless as a dove. I want you to just hear my voice. And those who do give out God's word, preach the word. Because the word is what's going to build them up. Give them an inheritance. We thank you, Lord. I ask you to lead and guide each one of us in the name of Jesus. Amen.